Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Braj Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Chikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shyamakunda Radhakunda Gir Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Gangamayi Ki Jamunamayi Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
This is a Chaitanya Charitamrita class, but it's a verse from the Bhagavatam, and this is Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 313. It's the Lord instructs Sanatan Goswami. Would somebody like to lead the Sanskrit?
Sarva Jetu Bhadrasta
Tamajam
Nirguno Bhavet
Hare
Nirguna Sakshat
Purusha
Parite Para
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
He certainly.
Nirguna. Nirguna.
Transcendental to all material qualities.
Sakshad.
Directly.
Directly.
Purusha. The Supreme Enjoyer. Prakriti, material nature,
Para,
beyond,
Sa,
he,
Savadrik,
the seer of everything,
Upadrasta,
the overseer of everything,
Tam,
him,
Bhajan,
by worshiping,
Nirguna,
transcendental to material qualities, Bhavet,
one
becomes.
Becomes.
Translation: Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated beyond the range of material nature. Therefore, he is the supreme transcendental person. He can see everything inside and outside. Therefore, he is the supreme overseer of all living entities. If someone takes shelter at his lotus feet and worships him, he also attains a transcendental position. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is also a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. That was the purport. Om Gyana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksarum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangang Lam Hayate Grim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarna Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I'm always nervous when I give class. So this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. And he's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead quotes from scripture. And he's setting an example. It's very important that everything we say, everything that we do, should be in accordance with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So he's quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Two times in this verse it's mentioned nirguna, which is, means no material qualities. I looked it up in this verse in the Bhagavatam. They translate it as free from the material modes. So both of these are true. In another place, it's related to having no material desires. So this verse from the Bhagavatam is in the chapter of the story of Lord Vishnu killing Vrikasura. And Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear more and more from Sukadeva Goswami, and he asked him this question. It was an apparent contradiction. He said, the worshippers of Lord Vishnu are usually very poor, although Lord Vishnu, his wife is the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and he's very opulent, but his worshippers always seem to be very poor. And Lord Shiva, who lives like a renunciate, his worshippers seem to be very material opulent. And Sukadeva Goswami, he said, oh, it's a very good question. He really liked the question. And he said, actually, your grandfather, Maharaj Yudhisthira, asked the same question to, I think it was Narada Muni, it might have been Bhishma Dev on his deathbed. But anyway, he asked the same question. And the answer was given with this story of Vrikasura, how he went to Narada Muni, and he asked him, you know, out of the three predominating deities, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, who is most quickly satisfied? And of course, Narada Muni could understand his mind that he still had material desires. And of course, he was impatient. He wanted to know how he could get his desires fulfilled quickly. So he said, you should worship Lord Shiva. He's very quickly satisfied. And of course, we all know the story. He went to some place in the Himalayas. I forget exactly where it was, Kedarnath or something. But it was a place dear to Lord Shiva. And he started the sacrificial fire, and he started offering pieces of his own flesh into the fire to satisfy Lord Shiva. So he started cutting off parts of his body, offering it into the fire. And he was doing this for 1 week. And still, Lord Shiva hadn't appeared. So he thought, you know, I thought Lord Shiva was supposed to be quickly satisfied, but he's not coming. I'm just going to commit suicide. So he took his bath. While he was still dripping wet, he was prepared to cut off his head and commit suicide and offer it into the fire. But Lord Shiva took compassion on him, and he appeared. And when he appeared, it said he healed all his wounds from when he was offering his flesh. And he asked him, you know, what would you like? I'll give you any boon you desire. So this rascal, Vrikasura, he thought, oh, Lord Shiva, he has a beautiful wife. If I kill him, I can enjoy his wife. So he asked for this benediction that whoever's head I touch, that person, his head will explode and he'll immediately die. So Lord Shiva said, okay, I promise to offer you this. So he offered it to him, the benediction. And then right away, Vrikasura went to touch Lord Shiva's head. And it said that Lord Shiva started trembling in fear, and he started running away. And he ran like so far all around. And finally he ran to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu could understand that Lord Shiva was in a dangerous predicament. So he went to this Vrikasura, and he started pacifying him with sweet words. And he said, you know, why don't you sit down here? You shouldn't work so hard. And he said, actually, after Lord Shiva got cursed by Daksha, he's not in his right mind, and He might have given you this benediction. It probably doesn't even work. So why don't you just try it on your own head? And if it doesn't work, then we can, you know, chastise Lord Shiva. So he touched his own head. And of course, immediately his head exploded. But we can see in this pastime that we never see that Krishna or Lord Vishnu has to run for his life. You know, here Vrikasura was chasing Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was afraid. He had to run, and he was saved by Vishnu. But we never find this, Vishnu running, like when he killed Hiranyakasipu in his form in the Sringadev or Varaha. You know, he didn't need any other help. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Krishna is full in everything. There are no contradictions in the Supreme Lord. So we never see that Krishna has to run from anyone, but still he does sometimes. And I can think of two examples where one is in the month of Damodar, we celebrate it that Mother Yasoda started chasing Krishna and he was running. And he was running in fear, it says, of Mother Yasoda. But this is much different. This is a pastime of Krishna. This is to show us, you know, his love of his of Mother Yasoda. And of course, finally, he agreed to be caught and bound up by Mother Yasoda. But it's a very, very different thing. And it goes to prove more that Krishna or Vishnu and the demigods, there's a great difference. There's another example that when Krishna moved to Mathura, Jarasandra attacked Mathura. And I think it's 17 times he attacked and he got defeated by Krishna. Easily killed all his army, but he speared Jarasandra. He let him live. And each time he had to go away in shame. But then his advisors would always advise him that, oh yeah, you're very powerful. It was just luck that Krishna defeated you. You should attack him again. And so he attacked him for the 18th time. But on this time, Krishna, in order to, of course, many reasons, but he ran away from the battlefield, and he's known as Rankor. He's actually worshipped as one who fled from the battlefield. But it was so much different than Lord Shiva running away from Vrikasura. This was, he didn't want to disturb all the inhabitants of Mathura, and also he wanted to awaken King Muchikunda. So, of course, when he was running, so fast, and Jarasandra was trying to catch him. And there's also the parallel with, Mother Yasoda catching him, that he's always just out of reach. You can't catch Krishna unless he desires to be caught. So Lord Krishna was running away from Jarasandra, and he went into this cave to liberate or to waken Muchikunda, and also to liberate Jarasandra. And Jarasandra followed him into this cave, and it was very dark in there, and Jarasandra was looking around, and he saw someone sleeping on the ground inside the cave, and he thought it was Krishna. So he kicked it as hard as he could. But Krishna was hiding in another place, and it was King Muchikunda. And when Muchikunda awoke, he started to look around, who kicked me, who awaked me? And as soon as he saw Jarasandra, he burnt him to ashes just by his glance. Kalyavana. Sorry. And, sorry, I mixed it up there. And he was burned to ashes by Muchakunda, who had the benediction. But it's just, I'm telling the story of how Krishna can run away, and it's his pastime, and he's glorified from it. And we should never think that he was afraid or he needed some help in some way, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, sorry about that. Jarasandha was later killed by Bhima. So these... apparent contradictions are not really contradictions. Everything is complete in Krishna. In the Sri Upanishad, verse 5, it speaks about how Krishna walks, but he doesn't walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, but he's outside everything. It also says in this verse, he's inside, and he can see inside and outside. He's the supreme overseer of everything. And I forget what day it was, but Mataji gave a very nice class, and we were talking about sense gratification. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about that, and about how, you know, we're not the body, we're servant of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, in many places, would say that you shouldn't try to see Krishna, but you should act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. And it's like a subtle distinction, but it's very important. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a whole chapter, it's called Devotional Service, A Change of Heart. So this change of heart is what we have to have. And the change of heart is that Krishna is the enjoyer and we're his servant. And this has to, you know, come through in everything that we do. Bhakti Siddhanta, I was asking Pran Govinda this yesterday. One time he was in front of the deities and he didn't have his glasses. As we see Bhakti Siddhanta, even on the altar, he always wears his glasses. And his servant wanted to give him his glasses. He said, "Do you want me to get your glasses?" And he said, "No." He said, "Krishna is the seer, and we are the seen." So it's really wonderful to be in front of the deities and to think like that, that Krishna is seeing us, that Krishna, we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. Just like in Artik. And we can understand, like, just like if you go to a concert, you know, we're all in the crowd and the band is the entertainment. But actually, during Artik, we are the entertainment, you know, and Krishna is the audience. And we should be thinking like this, that, you know, we're a servant of Krishna, we should please Krishna, and we should do these things to please Krishna. We should act in a way that Krishna will be pleased with us and he'll want to see us. But there are also some contradictions, seemingly contradictions, not really contradictions. That Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, that three things are very important in devotional service, and that's enthusiasm, being competent, and being patient. And there's this one story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya, when he would see Lord Jagannath, he would usually stay in the back of the temple by the Garuda Stambha, and he would, you know, lovingly look at Lord Jagannath. And one time, because it was very crowded, there was one arisen local woman who started to climb up the column and put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder just so that she could see Lord Jagannath. She was so eager to see Lord Jagannath. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's servant, Govinda, started to chastise this lady. "Oh, you're putting your foot on Lord Chaitanya. That's a great offense." And Lord Chaitanya stopped him. He said, no, she has this great eagerness. And then this woman, when she realized that she was putting her foot on Lord Chaitanya, she got down and paid her obeisances and was begging for forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. He said, Lord Chaitanya has blessed you with this intense eagerness. He hasn't blessed me this much. And he was, you know, glorifying her eagerness to see the Lord. So both things are there. We should be very eager to see the Lord, and at the same time, we should know that Krishna is seeing us. Krishna consciousness and this our philosophy is personalism. We're not impersonalists, we're not Mayavadis, and we should always remember that our relationship with Krishna is one of a personal one. Our relationship with the spiritual master is a personal relationship. I noticed that this is also like a public service announcement, that there's a nice little note on the Vyasa-san, don't put the flowers on the cushions. You know, they don't want it to, the flowers to stain the cushion. But I was remembering this one time in New Vrindavan, when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in the summer of 1976, it was my duty to set up the Vyasa-san for his evening darshan, and he would take this darshan outside in the lawn of the house where he was staying. So I would always walk over a little early. I think the darshan was at 5 in the evening, and I would set it up. The Vyasa-san was stored in the garage. We'd have to take it out and set it up in the yard, and it took two people to carry it. So I would go over early, and when somebody would come, I'd get them to help, and we'd put the Vyasa-san up. And this happened like for 10 days in a row. And after the first few days, I started noticing, to get there, I had to cut through this one field, and there were wildflowers growing in the field. So I would pick some wildflowers and decorate the Vyasa-san a little bit. And so when Prabhupada came out, it would be a little more decorated. But this one day, I got somebody to help me carry the Vyasa-san out. And I can't remember if I didn't know him or if I haven't seen him for a while, but I started talking with him. And all the flowers that I had picked to decorate the Vyasa-san, I had just put on this little marble pad where the Vyasa-san was. So as I was talking to this one Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada came out of the door, came down the stairs, and, you know, came up to sit on the Vyasa-san. So we all pay our obeisances. And, you know, just like they have a little sign here, don't put the flowers on the cushion, we were all told, you know, very clearly that during Guru Puja, you know, just offer your flowers to Srila Prabhupada's feet. Don't try to touch his feet. Just offer them and go, you know, keep the line moving. You know, we were all told like that. So Prabhupada sat on the Vyasa-san this day, and I had these flowers here that I hadn't decorated with the Vyasa-san yet. So I thought, I'll just take these flowers and, you know, offer them to Prabhupada's feet. So I picked up the flowers, and I was going to offer them to Srila Prabhupada's feet. And all of a sudden, I noticed Srila Prabhupada's hand started coming down. And I was like in mid-offering to his feet. And I kind of like, what, you know, I kind of freaked out a little bit, what's happening? But just almost involuntarily, my hand just, you know, threw the flowers on Prabhupada's feet. And, you know, I was such a fool. You know, we're personalists. Here Prabhupada is offering his hand to accept the flowers, and I just, you know, offered them to his feet. I remember that a lot, you know, when I offer my flowers in the morning to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada is, he's a person. And all devotees within ISKCON are persons, all our relationships are personal, and we shouldn't be impersonal. And also, I was thinking about, you know, we read the 10 offenses today, and one of the Sometimes it's called like the 11th offense that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Prabhupada added, and it's not to be inattentive while chanting. And I can see, especially with myself, it's the one that I like struggle with the most is, you know, your mind is wandering and you try to be attentive. But just like when Srila Prabhupada put out his hand, I should have been attentive. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada called this movement Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, being conscious of Krishna. It also means to be attentive to Krishna. And of course, Lord Chaitanya in his Shikastaka said, you know, O Lord, you've made yourself easily approachable by your holy name. Krishna's actually there. So we have to be, you know, attentive. We have to be conscious that Krishna is there. So I wanted to just say a few things and also ask the audience, all these esteemed devotees here, of how Krishna is so attentive to us. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, he's in our heart. He gives us remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness. He's in everyone's heart. He's giving them, he fulfills everyone's desire since time immemorial. And this is, you know, just as personalist, it's a human phenomena that everyone wants a friend. Everyone is looking for actually a best friend. And they want somebody to share, you know, all the good things that are happening to them. But they also want somebody to understand all the troubles that we're going through, all the difficulties that we're going through. And actually, in that way, Krishna is our best friend because he's the only one that can actually fully understand, you know, all the difficulties that we're going, all the happiness that we're going through. Krishna is actually our best friend in that way. And he's very attentive to us. He's always there. You know, Krishna is giving us everything. You know, the rains. By sacrifice, the rains come. You know, without rain, we couldn't eat. Krishna is the taste of water. You know, he's so attentive. He's serving us so many ways that we have to be grateful to him. And that just when our japa, just to be attentive, is being a little grateful to Krishna. There's also one, I've always liked this purport, and Srila Prabhupada gave in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's where Lord Varaha is fighting with Hiranyaksha. And Lord Boar appears there to fight with Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyaksha starts to criticize the Lord. And it says Lord Varaha was pained by the words of Hiranyaksha. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that Mayavadis, they cannot understand how the Lord feels pain when he was being insulted. But just like he feels pleasure when he's glorified by his devotees, he also feels pain when he's criticized. Or Srila Prabhupada gives an example about the Mayavadis or impersonalists that say that Krishna has no form, he's formless, you know, he doesn't have anything. It's just very offensive to Krishna, and he feels pain. But we can actually give Krishna pleasure by praising him and by chanting his name. So, this is pure devotional service. We have to have a change in heart. We're not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. What we do is should be pleasing to Krishna. And the easiest way, of course, to please Krishna is to please the spiritual master. And we should take his order or his instructions as our life and soul. And of course, everyone has the instruction of chanting 16 rounds every day. And we should take that as our life and soul. Follow the four Raghava principles. We should take that as our life and soul. Of course, a lot of other devotees have different instructions, like Jaipataka Maharaj, to develop Mayapur, or, you know, Ramaswara, you told, like, you know, distribute books. But whatever instruction we have, we should take it very seriously, that this is the way that we can please Krishna. And I like this one story of this devotee. He never got initiated. His name is Fantuzzi. He's a semi-famous musician. And he was living in the Portland temple. I think Dinabandhu Prabhu was the temple president. And he wanted to ask Srila Prabhupada, how can I please you the most? And people were telling him, book distribution. At this time, a lot of, everybody was fired up about book distribution. This is the best way to please Srila Prabhupada. So anyways, they went down to, it was either San Francisco or Los Angeles, and he had a burning desire. He wanted to ask this question to Srila Prabhupada, but, just being a rank and file devotee, it was hard to get to Srila Prabhupada to ask him a question. So finally, Srila Prabhupada was leaving. He was getting in his car, and the door was still open. They hadn't closed the door yet, and he went up to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, what will please you the most? How can I please you the most? And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, just become a lover of Krishna. And I just, that's such a, wonderful example. Whatever service, that we're doing, Srila Prabhupada wants us to develop our love for Krishna our love for Krishna. That's what he established ISKCON for. So, does anybody else have some comments on how Krishna is attentive to us? Anybody comments?
When we pray to Krishna and Krishna fulfill your prayer,
yeah. And that happens all the time. Anyone else?
One devotee was praying to the deity of Krishna. He said, what if I forget you at the time of death? And then the deity said, Krishna said,
we may be able to forget Krishna and be in Maya, but Krishna never forgets us. And Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna is more anxious than we are for us to remember him and for us to come home, back home, back to Godhead. He's waiting for us. And we just have to purify ourselves so that we can associate with him again.
I have a personal experience. There's, I know devotees, they're very Krishna conscious, and no matter what happens, even when they drop something, it's, Krishna, or, Lord of my wife, Lord of the universe. She has this ability to do that. And I was meditating on that for a while, and I was thinking, because I don't have that tendency, so I was thinking, how will I remember Krishna if something was to happen? And one day I was driving to work, and of course this is Chicago, so it freezes, and the highway was frozen. And I hit a slick spot, and my car spun around on the highway. And this is after quite a while of meditating on that, and I was actually feeling sad that I don't have that ability. And when the car spun around, I'm chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, it was like Krishna showing me, don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, you know. And it was, I was, after I stopped, I felt so much better. And I thought, you know, Krishna's always there. He'll always protect me, even though I don't have that ability.
Yeah.
Anyway, tidbit.
Very nice. So, yeah, this pure devotional service is a change of heart. I also wanted to mention this about asking questions, especially, you know, when you're asking questions to your spiritual master. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that you should approach a spiritual master, render service to him, and inquire submissively. that's the process, rendering service and inquiring submissively. We also have to be careful that we don't ask challenging questions, or sometimes devotees would ask manipulating questions, trying to, you know, manipulate Prabhupada or manipulate, you know, in a certain way. They ask a question and they want to get a certain answer. Or if Srila Prabhupada would answer, I've heard some people say, oh, no, you don't understand. Prabhupada understood very well. You just have to listen to what he said. There's a lot of examples. I was in New Vrindavan when a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about when he's on Sankirtan, meets people that say they don't need Krishna. You know, I already know Krishna. I don't need your Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was so heavy after he asked this question. You know, he just kept going on. Why are you asking this question? You know, don't you read my books? You know, it says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesadam, Sata, I forget the Sanskrit, but for one who is constantly devoted to me with love, then Krishna gives them the understanding. And he wanted, you know, us to know this, and he was like really heavy on this devotee. And even his servant, Pushna Krishna, was sitting next to him, and he said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, that's not his question. He meets somebody. You know, he meets people when he's distributing books who are asking that or saying that. And Srila Prabhupada looked at Pushta Krishna and he said, he may be able to fool you, but he can't fool me. And he was just really kept hammering this, but why do you ask this question? Why aren't you reading my books? Why don't you know this? You know, he really wanted to know. And then another time, one of my godbrothers asked this question. He didn't even finish the question. He did something like Sarup. When we get our Sarup, and Prabhupada said, why are you talking of Sarup? He said, follow the four regatha principles. Don't talk of Sarup. You know, it was just so heavy. And there was this one time in Henry Street in Brooklyn. A Mataji, you know, dressed in a sari, a devotee, asked a question to Srila Prabhupada. She said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, it says that there are, you know, so many ways to Krishna. There's so many paths to Krishna. You know, why are we, you know, following this Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada just said, there are so many holes in the body. But if you want to eat, you put the food in here. Not in here. And this Mataji started crying. But it's important on our part that, you know, if we're rendering service and we have, you know, genuine questions, Srila Prabhupada loved it to answer genuine questions. There was a time in 1971 in Boston, they had somebody, when Srila Prabhupada visited in July, they had somebody who had a movie camera and they wanted to make a movie of Srila Prabhupada answering questions. So Srila Prabhupada was in a rocking chair and Satsvarup Maharaj, who was a grahastha at that time, he started asking Srila Prabhupada a question and they were, you know, filming it. And after a little while, Prabhupada said, he said, no, you know, you already know these things. go get some guest and have him come in and ask me questions. So it would be more genuine. And they just picked some random guy who was in the hallway, and they brought him in, and he started asking questions to Prabhupada. And it's on YouTube, this this conversation. But Srila Prabhupada wanted, genuine questions. He was there. He wanted to, help his devotees clear all their doubts, and so that they could enthusiastically and wholeheartedly engage in devotional service. And of course, that we know that if we read these books, everything's in Srila Prabhupada's books. Any questions that we have will be answered within Srila Prabhupada's books, and we have to have that that conviction, that faith, and read them. And everything is there. Everything that we need to know, Srila Prabhupada gave us. So, are there any other questions or comments or corrections?
I would guess that, or it is such, that if you ever read any stories of how I came to Krishna consciousness, that shows how Krishna is so attentive.
Yeah.
You know, they're often, most of them are like mystical.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Occurrences.
Even Srila Prabhupada liked to hear those stories of how his devotees came to Krishna consciousness, and he even gave some instructions of how they should print some in Bhagavad and the Back to Godhead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's actually a site online, How I Came to Krishna Consciousness, if you ever want to read them.
Yeah. Okay, so of course I say all these things for my own purification. This is something that I'm definitely trying to work on, being attentive while chanting, and I'm just seeing Krishna is so attentive to me, I should, be a little bit attentive to him in my chanting. Oh, a question?
It's not a question. This is like experience.
Sure.
Sometimes Krishna will drop every, pieces of mercy, and he will show you that he's real, in different ways. It appears like a different kind of mercy will come to you.
Yep.
That's my experience through my life.
Yes, Krishna is so kind. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Who was it? I think it was in 71 or 72. No, you can't.
You don't need to buy more batteries or it looks like a cool button.
Which one is that? I gotta go through the whole thing. Gopi Janaka, I don't know, I'm no Sanskrit. I'm not good at it. Mine's all messed up. Thank you. Oh wow, you're a Sanskrit scholar. Oh, that's why I didn't even leave the Sanskrit. My Sanskrit is terrible. It is. Yeah. My wife is